Hello and welcome to the Cowboy for Game Yu-Gi-Oh! Podcast. I'm your host Jake. Today I'm joined by Ben from Northern TCG.
Long starter.
And Logan.
Hello.
How was our week in Yu-Gi-Oh! Let's start with you, Ben.
I have committed myself to an eternal life of never winning locals. I've decided that as long as I play Tenpai, I will always lose one match in a night. Everyone's going to side so much hate against me that it's just going to be the case. I will never win locals playing this deck.
You weren't the only person playing Tenpai tonight, though, were you?
No, now everyone else has picked it up, and it's just going to make it even worse for me. So, you know, I might build Snake Eyes and just, like, have that ready to go so I can shut the locals and be like, Snake Eyes now. But outside of that, yeah, so Tuesday, win X1. Lost... What the fuck did I lose to? Something. Was it me? I don't know. Maybe. Probably. Who knows?
Did you lose the chat?
No, that was last week. Today I also lost
Tuesday.
Then today I went X2. That was bad. My first loss, or both my losses, were to me just fundamentally just being stupid with 4-0s. So yeah, week was but it is what it is. I just need to, you know, actually know how to play my deck.
Semantics. Just learn on the fly.
Yeah. Just, you know, not forget very basic interactions that I've always known. When you have the options of adding talents and stealing their monster, or adding impermanence and then impermanencing monster and then preparation stripping your hand, always take the impermanence and just use it. Just use it. Hot tip.
Logan.
Yeah. What have I done? I went X1 on Tuesday, playing a bit of Lights on Centurion build. Kind of took a bit different to Jesse Cotton's build, but kind of same premise.
It's the same list.
Nah, it's got a few different things, but like
What's the difference?
The important stuff is the same. We're playing more Horus package, we're playing more Thunder cards. We've cut down on our Lightsworn cards. We increased the Centurion numbers.
So you're not playing Lightsworn?
We are playing Lightsworn.
You're playing Centurion with a Lightsworn package.
Well, yeah, because that's the best way to play Centurion. we went X1, and then today we went X1 again, lost in the finals. D-Shifter is a good card.
Ogre's card you were complaining about.
Ogre's a good card too when you draw it.
If only the shifter was live so the Ogre couldn't be used.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was unfortunate. I was really happy with the deck. I'm really happy with it.
Well, he doesn't know what King Sark does, by the way.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't.
Yeah, I didn't read it.
No.
The card is very good if you read it.
No, I don't want to read it. Don't read cards.
Opponent, Book of Moons is Horus. He's like, I've got no other Horus monsters that can get over this Colossus.
No, I don't know. Anyway. I killed it anyway. I already killed the Colossus.
No, the other... You know how he still had the Colossus there? After you went to attack into it with the...
But didn't I kill it straight after anyway?
You had to do other stuff in main phase 2 to remove it.
No, I didn't read it.
Anyway, read Kingsark. Do yourself a favour.
Yeah, read
Kingsark. Deals with a lot of problems.
Yeah, the Ascend, yeah.
Yeah, you just could have done that instead.
But didn't I attack his other monsters anyway?
You attacked one.
I already attacked with the other two.
No, you attacked one into this middle monster, and then you attacked the second monster into the Horus, got booked, and then you were like, I don't have enough attack to get over this Colossus anymore.
The reality is, we lost anyway. Jake, how about you? How'd you go?
I kind of just slapped the deck together. I really should do research on what the better builds are. It may even be that I just pivot entirely away from the Lightsworn and just do more tier stuff. But I knew going into today that the deck still wasn't right, so it's like, eh. I did have a bonkers game against Runic in that I just had 5 set spell and traps for disruption as well as like the rest of the board. So that was real nice. I liked that.
So you think you're going more to like pure tier instead of like Lightsworn tier?
Yeah.
Is that because you just think the Lightsworns are like not doing
enough
for you?
It's situational. So sometimes the Lightsworns can go off and they really complement what you're trying to do. Mm. Other times you open a Wolf of Elise and nothing to do with them.
I think
so.
He did that against me.
He did that against me too. I did that against him too in game 1.
Did he at least try to play?
Didn't get a chance to.
Against me, he just scooped. Here's my next game.
Well, against him, I had to wait for the top deck. Against you, I was going first.
Yeah.
I remember I drew before Felicia against you and I set past and I was like, this is fine. It was not.
Yeah, I think it was a tactics.
Yeah. I think you're right though. I think with Petir with the tier elements, like if you're playing a heavy tier build, the lights ones can really conflict a lot because you've already got to play like the traps and all that.
Did he just confess to setting a wolf or setting a fleece?
No. He set a tactics. I believe he set a card in the thought that I would waste resources to out it, but no. Triple P deals with it very nicely without having to commit anything to.
My hand was garbage. I was just saying it to see like, it could be. Maybe I've blindsided you. Maybe it's not lights when you're fizzing. No.
I fucking know you. I know what you play.
Exactly it. I think you're right though. Like the last ones, I don't think tier lights one, if you're going to go heavy tier, is the way to go. I think if you're going to play lights on tier build, you need to go light and tier element cards.
My list just has the three names. That's it.
Yeah. Well, his list has got like all the...
There's a whole bunch of shit I could do. That's the thing about mill decks is there's any number of different ratios you can do to build different boards. So I need to work out what I want to do. But it's going to take me some time. In the meantime, we have Nats coming up in... Oh, sorry. States. States coming up in like 2 weeks. And I have no idea what the fuck I'm going to play. It likely won't be this. So
you want to play Snake Eyes?
No, absolutely not.
You can use my Snake Eyes.
I don't give a fuck. I do not want them. I do not care for them. They can get in the bin.
Voiceless Voice, good deck.
Don't have it, but sure.
I'm surprised you don't have Voiceless Voice. It's such a you sort of style.
The fuck?
Like, it just feels like I'm versing someone who's played like OG Invoked and just making like a Mechaba.
I knew you were going to make a Mechaba reference. It has nothing. No.
Like, it just feels like a you thing.
That was him last week. He was just making Mechaba.
Nah, he
wasn't just making Mechaba. He is Revolution Synchro. How fucking dare you slap a fucking fire dragon on the board thinking you're unique? Shut your fucking motherfucking face.
But did I normal summon the fire dragon?
Depends. Did you need to worry about disruption?
33% of the time I normal summon the fire dragon.
So, hot take on Tempai is it's just budget Neuron.
It's better than Numeron. It's better than Numeron.
It's budget. That's why it's better.
Is budget it budget Tron Dragon?
You don't have to play that.
You don't have to win either, but you should play Tron if you want to win.
You absolutely
don't. You don't need to. It's in there as bait. 100%, it's in there as bait.
Yeah.
You do not need to play it. You put out more than enough damage without it.
For sure, but there are definitely situations where that card's going to come up and win you a game. Where if you don't have it, you're not going to win.
Yeah, there's a lot of cards you can say that for.
Prosperity'd and didn't have enough damage after it.
Exactly. Yeah, but anyway.
Even and then, you have to open the field spell for it to even be playable. Still say...
Is Neuron that expensive back in the day?
For its time, absolutely it was.
There was like a three, four week period where it was quite expensive.
Yeah, when people thought this was the best.
Because when it came out, it was shit.
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh wait, this is good for a little bit. Anyway.
Back to you, Jay.
Especially because Zexal was still a thing, so if you made them go first, they'd just go, haha, no turn.
Make a Zexal, yeah. Because you got one summon afterwards, right?
Yeah, it was Zexal.
Yeah, and then when Zexal got banned, people were like, oh, I guess I can just play an Appaloosa? And it was bad.
But yeah, so it's really annoying at locals at the moment, the amount of people that are playing Tenpai. I could side for it. Don't care to.
It was one the other day. Now it's three.
There was an even number of Tenpai players to turn skip players.
Yes.
Yeah, locals is a real fun time right now.
I enjoyed it.
What side of the table were you on?
Not the Tenpai side.
Anyway.
Yeah. Not enjoying locals right now. But if it weren't for states, I'd just not go. But here we are.
He'd go.
He would still go. When's the last time you missed the locals by choice? Like, just going, I'm going to do something else.
A month and a half ago, I went to a barbecue.
December.
It wasn't December.
Yeah. No, mine was December. Before that, 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll just wait to see what I play.
Was the barbecue by choice, by the way? It was a family barbecue where you would have been pressured. That's not by choice.
No. It was one by choice.
What about one where you're just like, I don't have an event that I can choose to go to instead. It's just like, I just don't want to go to locals.
That's the thing. Up until right now, even in the cringe formats, there has been a window that I would be happy to play in. Currently, I'm not seeing that window. The window is closed.
I would argue that the deck you have the ability to build right now is better than the decks that you have been playing in those formats.
Yeah, but I enjoy those decks more.
Okay. For the third time, I will attempt to transition to the news.
Yes, speaking of, we move to Master Duel first. So last week we had the Skill Drain Extreme Duel. Now we've moved on to Double Summon.
Did you play the Skill Drain Extreme Duel?
You're right.
Do you want to try that one more time?
No.
As I mentioned on last week's episode, yes, I did. Ah. I did my three and then I got the fuck out because that was boring.
Oh, I only had to do three. I still didn't want to do that.
I haven't played Master Duel in so long. I only just reset it onto my computer. So I'm like, I can get back into this. No, still haven't.
We're about to get SP. You can own one there.
No.
Actually, we're about to for Horus in there too.
That is what made me reboot it and go, maybe.
But yeah, so each player can normal summon twice is basically the thing of this. What seems to be the most prevalent is people just normal summoning a Labyrinth monster to search a Labyrinth card and then normal summoning an Ecclesia to search Punishment.
I thought you were going to say like a fucking Barry statue.
I would have also thought
that. No, Labyrinth need to special summon, so yeah. They can't completely lock you out. But yeah, they do their absolute best to make it very painful to play.
There's surely some stun deck that is just going to abuse this completely.
Oh, 100%. Like,
normal summon
that
one,
was
rescue
just
ace the... card. Normal summon another one.
Combo. That was just the variance of the deck that I saw. Like, there's absolutely people that went in there and just set up, like, just cringe shit.
Yeah.
Normal summon border. Normal summon fossil liner. Pass?
Jeez. Anyway, I played Time Thieves.
If you activate Morganite, do you get a third normal summon?
I think so. I think they stack. Because you really need three floodgates on the board. Like, that's just...
That's, like, I was like, is it a case of normal double summon activates at the start of your turn, or is it a case of it, you just have two normal summons?
It's just two normal summons. Oh, they did the classic of, like, rather than just having, like, a thing to say that you have an extra normal summon, the art of double summon was right there.
Okay.
In the middle.
Okay.
Where right. The field spell
should
goes.
Be Nightmare Goblin.
That.
No, please don't take us back to
Ultimate
that.
Offering.
New art.
Yes, that is a lovely segue. Thank you, Logan. So we got a announcement.
Thanks for the segue, even though I was the one that had the segue.
I gave it the enough context that Jake was like, oh, that is something.
It's okay, he doesn't know what tab it's on anyway.
Yeah.
It's the one that wouldn't load.
Every week I tell him to organise the tabs.
I did organise the tabs. This one reset for some reason. I don't know why.
By organising
anyway,
the tab,
we
tab
got
one.
Alt arts for Lost Art having been announced.
Keep talking.
There it is. That one.
Think
I recognise because it has Toad. So
that's a frog.
But Toad.
It's tree-born frog.
He's a toad.
Frogs aren't toads. Otherwise, it'd make life so much easier.
If he weren't born in the trees, he would have been a frog.
No, it's if you're not printed in a McDonald's pack, you're not a frog.
Even then, you're still not a frog.
So anyway, the Lost Arts.
Yeah, Lost Arts. So, tree-born frog / toad. What else we
it's
got?
It's never been toad.
It's the same. Double trap hole. I don't
is
know
the
if I've ever
the
seen a card before.
Oh, which card?
Double trap hole.
I like double trap hole.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Surprise.
Double trap.
Sassy Golden Lord. I don't know. What did they censor out?
Oh, this one has the giant dildo strapped to its chest.
I was going to say, did he just have his cock out?
Yeah.
Ultimate Offering and Ultimate Offering, both getting alt arts. Exodia Necross. What Cancel, where we get little electric zappy skeleton. And the Gimmick Puppet Dreary Doll.
The only relevant one out of them all, but we probably will get that one last.
Yeah, more than likely, if we get it at all.
I was supposed to ask today about whether or not the old ones we even got.
Oh, yeah. Remember when they used to have value?
Yeah.
I was just thinking, I was like, this is, like, actually an awful print of Lost Arts.
They're just...
Oh, this one's pretty good compared to the last one.
They're just
the one before.
Looking for cards to throw at it. And every time they make a new run, they become less and less of a thing that you care about.
Don
when it was at
was the
very beginning, when it was just the Exodia pieces, the Monster Reborn and the Skill Drain, that would have been perfect. If they'd left it there, you grab those, they would have been worth something. Now, you're going to have like 87 of these fucking things by the end of their print run, and no one's going to give a shit.
Like, I understand it, because they're trying to give people who are collectors, like, oh, it's the other art, it's the art that you want. But like... You can do this in a different way that I think would actually give it more excitement and value now. Because we're at the point where Lost Arts are just like, Like, if you put them in the... If you just slid, like, a Lumina, Lights on Source Fist into the battle pack, and we're like, actually, surprise, this print, it's the different art Lumina. People would be like, oh, well, now I'm going to... Like, if I'm collecting, I'll buy the product.
Ben's brought this up before, is they can't put it in product because some of them being that they are lewd artworks in Konami's mind, they can't just be like, here children, have this laundry dragon made that has a nipple, not a button, but a nipple.
I stand by my point. Just do something different then. Don't like promote it differently.
What they actually need to do is just stop.
Also true.
If that was the case, I still would not want the North Laundry Dragon made all time. Because it's Laundry Dragon made and it should be burnt.
Yeah.
Yes.
Laundry bad.
True.
Anyway.
Next bit of news. So in the OCG, they announced the two alt arts that we're getting with the complete file story of White / the Albaz lore book. So we're getting alt arts of Aluba and of Blazing Cartesia. They look quite nice. That one's a little bit like waifu baby kind of thing, but the Aluba looks really good.
Yeah.
95% of Yu-Gi-Oh players will buy it anyway because it's waifu.
Well, 95% of Yu-Gi-Oh players won't be able to because it's an OCG exclusive product at this point.
Oh, maybe that's 40% of Yu-Gi-Oh players 40%. Have access to it.
That's the thing. I remember bringing it up when I discussed it the first time. It's $300 Australian just to buy it.
Anyway, so they're getting a $20 structure deck with meta staples. Oh, that's old news. I'm just saying that that's good. That's good value.
Next bit of news. Here we go. So, an announcement for this year's sort of World's Day that they used to do has been made. So OTS stores will be getting, what's this card called again?
It's something city.
Grandoy's Turtle something or other.
You can get it at your locals.
Grandopolis, the Eternal Golden City. So yeah, that's a 2013 price card rather than the current one for some reason.
I like it.
It does look nice.
Oh, I rate it. It looks like a cool artwork.
The issue is that the don't worry.
But the good news is that they're actually doing something for Worlds at a locals level this year
again.
Because you can't go watch Worlds. Yes. Unlike any other card game where you can go and have a great time. But Yu-Gi-Oh, no, you sit at home and you watch.
I don't understand why they're doing that. Like, they could make
they will allow local players to go.
I know,
they just don't want people flying from all over the country and fucking lining up to get in when they can make a point of being like, hey, anyone in the Seattle community, here is entry.
Is that what it is? I thought it was...
No, for anyone at any OTS.
He's talking about Worlds.
I'm talking about actually going to Worlds.
But surely there is a level of... that you can make Worlds an event where people around the world... I don't think it's a bad thing for people around the world to come and watch the best players play around the world and then run an inside event. Run events around it. Why would you shoot yourself in the foot with so much opportunity?
Because it's always been a nichely invited thing.
Yeah, nichely invited to play, but every other card game has expanded that opportunity.
Yeah, but there's a lot more of an effort to qualify for Yu-Gi-Oh! Worlds.
Mm.
Like, other card games are like, oh, you sneezed? Welcome.
Thank you, I play Pokemon.
You know how to spell Pikachu? Here's your invite, buddy. Off you go.
Unless you're playing in Australia.
Yeah, you live in Australia? Go fuck yourself, buddy. You want to drive to Perth? No? Fly to Perth? Maybe?
It is
too bad.
But then again, at least if you're a Pokemon player in Australia, you can go watch Worlds live.
Yes.
True. That's the payoff. You can pay to be there instead.
Yes, you can do what I did and fly there and then go, oh, you mean the line's 4 hours to get in because everyone is here? I'm going back to Tokyo. But fuck you guys.
But this is the thing, right? Yu-Gi-Oh! Wouldn't get that level of turnout. Because at Pokemon, you have people that probably have no interest in the TCG, the VCG, Pokken, any of that bullshit. They're just there to get into the Pokemon Center to get the most exclusive shit that they can get their hands on.
I would also argue that if it's outside Japan, you don't get that big of a number. The fact that
we'll find out in August?
It also has been a while.
When it's in Hawaii?
Yeah.
It'll be way less in Hawaii. There'll be way less people in Hawaii.
Yes,
I wonder 100%. How expensive the accommodation would be in Hawaii at that time.
So much.
Because I would imagine it's expensive at the best of times. And then it's in their summer still? I think it's towards the end of their summer.
August,
but it's still
in their
summer. So it's going to be hella expensive.
I'm really proud of you, Jake.
What, knowing what seasons are?
No. You didn't bring up the fact that half the island burnt down.
Well, that's brought a real Debbie Downer to the news, hasn't it?
Yes.
I guess we move on to the next beer.
We move.
The next set, side set, has been announced for the OCG. All we know so far is the name, and it is called the Crossover Breakers.
Oh, yes. We're finally getting Crossover Crisis imported into Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yes, I summoned Dexter. Nah, Dexter's shit. So this is releasing in the OCG on August 24. So apparently we'll know in the next week or so.
Maybe it's just Crossdoors. Maybe like, oh, it didn't work as an online card game. Printed physical. Out it goes.
But, oh, it is saying tentative title, but realistically, they rarely change them.
Not really. There's slight adjustments, but nothing really major.
So apparently we're getting announcements of this in the next week or so from VJump and stuff as to what will be in there. Where do you think side sets are going?
Like, what do you mean?
Like, are they doing better than they're using?
Yeah.
Like, deck build packs?
Yeah.
Or do you reckon they're going to pivot back to... Well, the duelist packs aren't that bad.
Aren't they?
They're better than what they were.
They're still bad, though.
Yeah, but remember fucking... The last duelist pack?
Was that the Mako one?
No, that was the one that... The Mako one came after the last duelist pack.
Yeah.
The last duelist pack was the one where it was like... The money card was like Flight for a Daredevil, and there was a Galaxy Eyes that was like $10.
Jesus.
That was a garbage set. But we're probably just going to stick with deck build packs. Although they haven't named this deck build pack, so that makes it concerning.
What is it called? Oh no, it is deck build pack.
Oh, deck build pack. Oh, there you go. It's still deck build pack. We're fine. Mm-hmm. They'll just give us three different decks and away we go. The issue is that our printings are so shit.
Yes. Yeah.
Our printings being the 15 Ultras, 10 Ultras, I remember you get. You
11 of which being for the best archetype. Yeah. That
best archetype?
I mean, you look back on it, Centurion got the most, it was the best.
Yep.
Vanquished Soul got the most. It was the best.
The others just were phenomenally shit, though.
I can't even remember what the third one was.
But isn't the set with Centurion, the other one, they're getting some more support?
Sofical, yeah, but Centurion's also getting support.
Yeah, but isn't the support for the other ones like real good?
You got amazing defenders.
Conceptually, yes.
Amazing defenders is insane.
Yeah.
We had amazing defenders before that. Best set ever printed.
Not according to our 2023.
Still disappointed in you all for that.
Oh, won that again.
Especially you.
Rarity Collection.
Oh, God, yeah.
Which is funny because, again, listening back to the pod, Ben was super excited for it until it released and he's like, I hate this set.
Yeah.
Very you.
Yeah. Because it released and it was just.
He did the same with Lightsworn. I mean, not Lightsworn, the other one, Tier Element. Super excited to play Tier Element, started playing Tier Element. He's like, I fucking hate this deck.
No, I always wanted Sprite. Yeah.
No, we started on Tier.
You very quickly pivoted. He pivoted very quickly onto Sprite.
Yeah.
Because I remember testing he was Sprite. And I loved Tier Element. I was so in on that.
I hate Tier Element so much.
Yeah, I love Tier. Bring it back.
We've seen. You're on.
You're doing it right now. When did you play today, Jake?
Bring it back when there are three. He played consistency.
He played Lightsworn today. That's why he didn't win. He didn't have pure Tier.
Yeah. That's his strategy. Play pure Tier. Make that deck even better. Is that not just taking out the Lightsworn cards and putting in hand traps?
Yes.
No. What other Tier cards do you have to go in your deck?
More traps. Mally. The Unchained thing, so I can pop the Bricky trap that I've inevitably drawn.
Oh, yeah.
Surprised you didn't just play Mally anyway. In this list,
I was at the very beginning, but it was bad.
Yeah,
kept drawing it.
That's the breaks.
Anyway, moving on to some news. If you weren't aware, we do have a
news.
Discord.
We have a news section, right?
Sorry.
Discord.
Yeah, sorry.
It's right down there.
Questions. We move on to questions. If you weren't aware, link will be in the description below. Feel free to jump in, say hi, and ask us some questions.
Hi.
Our first one this week will come to us. Oh, Jesus Christ. First one this week comes to us from Rye Guy.
Hi, Rye Guy. I'm reading Rushdoll news.
Oh, Christ. With all the different types of YuGiTube content being made, do you think there are any untapped markets in Yu-Gi-Oh! Content creation?
English-speaking Rushdolls.
Alternatively, do you think it'll reach a point where the current type of content goes stale?
I think there's a lot of diversity at the moment. like that exists. Like you've got MBT for people that are brain dead. You've got your FAFO people want things that don't really take itself too seriously,
mm-hmm.
But realize that MBT is brain dead. You've got the guy who just commentates over
DB Grinder.
Yeah, your DB Grinder, the guy who
if you're Josh
really annoys me, but it's Josh and it's still not MBT, so I'd still put him up at least not that bad. Mm-hmm. And then
I wasn't aware in the show notes that we said just shit on fucking MBT for 20 minutes.
You've got that guy that does the weird hand trap videos. I haven't watched a single one of his other videos, but I watch every weird hand trap video.
There is a lot of variety. Like, I agree. There is some real heavy casual YouTubers. Like,
we're not talking, we don't mention those people.
They're really bad.
We don't mention those people.
The next up is like MBT, who's still really bad.
I don't know if I'd rather watch MBT or those two people whose names I've redacted.
You mean the ones you mentioned like just last week?
Yeah.
I think what actually might be the best day of the YouTubing scene right now is actually like the fact we're getting a lot more competitive players dying to give content.
Yes.
Like Joshua Smith and Jesse Cotton, even though their content can be a bit clickbaity.
We had this conversation last week.
We had a similar conversation last week.
Yeah.
The reason why you're thinking similar is because of the point that I'm about to bring up in that they only show you what they want you to see.
Of course. I'm not saying that they're giving you the best thing ever. But I'm saying that, like, just if you watch one Jesse Cotton video, that is still better than 85 MBT videos.
Like, and he does genuinely put out videos that are like, this will just make you a 25% better player.
Yeah.
And if anyone's improving at all, that's great.
And the reality is, 95% of the people who watch his videos, you're not going to beat Jesse Cotton 95% of the time anyway.
Yeah.
You're just getting better for locals.
He's just not going to give you, like, the deck techs that are going to put you to their level.
And then I think the other side of that is you're seeing a lot more like behind the scenes, like, hey, I'm going to this event and this is what we're doing. You're actually getting a bit more of a like understanding of what it looks like. If you've never gone to a YCS, what does it look like to go to an event? Jesse Cotton does that. I think Joshua Smith does good videos. I think there are some bloody horrendous YouTubers out there. I think there's some who just don't care about their content.
That was a time when I put effort in.
And here you are.
Those were the good days.
You bought lapel mics. You put some effort in.
Yeah, but you don't see me editing.
Anyway, I think.
Remember when we used to get cold opens?
I think this
one. Those used to take me an hour just to find, and I barely have like any time to get this done as it is.
Do you remember when you used to have like your introduction and you'd get like a little comment under your name?
You still
do. That's
you still get that?
You still get
that. Damn, that's great.
Being that you've called him out, there's going to be a very specific very weird one for you.
Southern Reed King Song. I think, yeah, anyway, the answer is going to, I think we are in a much better position now than we were, say, 4 years ago when we were probably at the valley of YouTubing, which was everything is casual based. Even Team Samurai X1, like,
His content has gotten so much better.
He's gotten so much better.
I kind of stopped watching once I got good at the game.
Well, that's it. Like, I think I only really bounced back to Sam like a couple of months ago, but I was like, oh, I'm actually enjoying your content more now because you're taking it a bit more seriously. And you know he knew his market. He got big enough off the casual scene to then be able to go and partner with people like Jesse Cotton and go, let's make good content.
There's that also the fact that he topped that YCS like years ago made him, actually gave him, he was like fucking True Draco. It was like 2018.
Well, he also played Dino in the remote credibility. He won the with Dinos in that remote duel event.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jesse Cotton, Josh Smith, even Sam, Pack, MSTTV. Like, I think those are still probably the best ones you can watch. If you're wanting competitive side content, and if you want to just muck around and don't really care about the seriousness of it, FAFO and Sam are all your funny ones, and then the rest are just hot garbage.
I haven't even heard of Simo in so long.
He makes content similar to FAFO now. Like, he does not put any effort in.
I did notice a while back, a lot of the Team Sam and the others just started doing content that was more, it was very similar to content that Magic YouTubers put out.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I'm hanging out with some guys and we're playing cards. Look how funny this is.
Mm.
And it's like, it doesn't really hold up in Yu-Gi-Oh.
No. Because Magic is built on, like, you got Commander and stuff where you can play multiplayer.
You say and stuff. Things. You have Commander.
So?
You say Commander and stuff. It's just Commander.
You've got 7 point. You've got...
No. I'm getting it like...
You know about like
YouTube, Magic YouTube content is just Commander and people calling out cheaters in other formats. That is all of Magic YouTube. Yeah.
Anyway,
they have Market Watch people, I think, probably. Although their Market
Watch. Oh yeah, actually, so we should talk. MCOF40 is probably putting out some. No, we don't mention that, like that anymore.
Remember the racism stuff.
Did I miss something in those like 3 years I went away?
Yeah,
we'll talk about it in a second. Yeah. But anyway, there Massive is Champs a whole is raft of content for a whole different demographics. Like, if you go on TikTok, you can just find people that just crack packs if that's your thing as well.
Ah, yes, you can find the people that took over from Simply Unlucky.
Does he still do content?
No, he got cancelled, didn't he?
I know he got cancelled, but did that kill him? I mean, not literally kill him. I mean, like, kill his channel. Anyway,
while you search that, the next question comes from 6R6. How do you go about, how did you go about acquiring staples? Did you focus on acquiring all of them at first? Did you buy them as required for a deck that used a particular one? And at what point in your Yu-Gi-Oh journey were you able to move from deck to deck without buying the staples?
Oh, you mean like more buying more staple cards? It's been a while since I've had to buy a staple. I typically now just buy it when it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
The specific point in time when I ticked over from needing to constantly be like, oh, I kind of need this hand trap too, I'm just going to buy every fucking hand trap, was when they released Ash Blossom and Shining Victories. Not Shining Victories, the other one that was the Shiv set. Shadows in Valhalla.
Mm.
When they released Ash Blossom there, that was the point in time where I was like, okay, from this point out, I will just buy every hand trap.
That was the first reprint set for Ash Blossom, wasn't it?
This is second reprint.
Second reprint.
But the first reprint was hilariously short printed.
Yeah, yes. So bad.
Yeah, I remember.
Even Ash Blossom in that set was one per box, where it was a super rare and you got four super rares per pack.
Uh-huh.
That was
so bad. I remember, oh god, every time that Ash was getting reprinted in those early days, everyone was like, this is it. This is where the Ash one becomes cheap. Everyone can have it. Oh.
I bought one box to get a playset, got one, and was like, oh, at least it's only $25 each now. Buy the rest.
Yeah.
But that was the point. Like, once I actually had Ash Blossom and was like using it every time, then I was like, fuck, I've got to buy all of these hand traps, man. Like, there's just no not doing that.
I think it's, yeah, when you realize hand traps are so valuable in the game now, whenever a new one comes out, you just need to be prepared that you're going to drop a couple hundred on that. Because they're going to get more value, you're going to get more mileage out of those than you will the deck core that you probably need to be buying.
Yes.
But if you're coming into it, like if you're jumping in, I would say the best strategy is pick them up on the like when they come out. But if you're jumping in and you need a bunch of the old hand traps, buy the cheapest ones you can to just have them, because you'll need them.
Yeah.
And then you can slowly acquire better ones. And then when you have the better ones, you can either flip the bad ones because people will still want to buy them, or you can have the spares. Like, I think that's the best way.
Just don't buy no material on day one.
Yeah, maybe don't do that.
Sometimes you make it. Sometimes the game gets wrong, all right? Sometimes you gamble and you lose.
That was the time when I was like, it's a hand trap printed in a May set. It's insane.
It's got to be good.
It's insane. In theory.
I think I resolved that card once and I paid $200 for the playset.
That's an expensive resolution you got there.
Yeah. Did you win the game by resolving it though?
No.
Whoa.
I legitimately only put it in my deck because I was like, I've spent so much fucking money on this.
It has to be done.
I have to use it. Like, and then I played it for a locals and was like, this is so garbage. Oh my god.
Oh god. But yeah, the main thing with staples and hand traps and all that kind of thing is don't sell them. Yes. Unless you've got an upgraded rarity, do not sell them, because it becomes quite expensive flipping between staple to staple from format to format. Just keep them in a binder. If you don't use them, it's fine.
I mean, if you're selling out, it's different.
He doesn't even know where his imperms are.
They're here, aren't
they? Yeah, I have them.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I knew.
I don't know what rarity they were though. I've forgotten that.
It's like a gold and two commons or two supers or something.
Yeah, see, I got three commons anyway. It's fine. See, just have enough imperms that you don't need to know where they are. Simple.
Yeah. I have a dedicated part of my desk that's the 10 cards that Logan has, and every time I try to give them to him, he just goes, "Oh, don't worry about it. I'll just get them later." So there's literally just a portion of my desk that is just 10 cards sitting right there. These are the Logan cards.
Jesus Christ. And then the last question again comes to us from 6R6. What has been your longest work week and why?
Work week?
Longest work week.
That's big work weeks. Personal. Like, sometimes, so for context, I sometimes work with like overseas teams. And like there's, I'm just about to start doing that again. So I'm about to start having some long work weeks. So like probably like a year ago, I was causing like a big deal at work. So it was like having to stay up till...
I feel like when you say the words closing a big deal, you need to have like a cigar like hanging out.
Oh, yes, I was closing a big deal, see? Closing a big deal, so... It was like, I start work at like 8 in the morning and I was having to stay back to like 8 p.m. So I was doing like 12-hour days every day. That's probably it.
Don't know what you said, mate, but I agree.
He's working 12-hour days.
60-hour week.
Oh, yeah. I think the hardest work weeks, like... My profession is equally like you got weeks that are so cruddy, and then you get weeks that are so like hectic. Probably the most hectic times is when you're taking the youth away on like camps.
And so you don't need to give too much context into what you do.
You do like seven day camps where you're doing 24 hours of hanging out with people, like hundreds of kids.
That sounds like a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, you come back and you like you get time in lieu, but it's, you take that time off when we tell you and say welcome back on day one and back to work. And that's pain.
I'm not about that.
Yeah.
My longer weeks, I feel like I'm about to get into them now. We had a period where our team had nothing to do for the Saturday, so I had the last two Saturdays off, which has been very lovely. But now that we've shot a bunch of stuff to launch, well, now, it's going to be a busy week of phone calls and running around and then working on Saturday again. Yeah.
Got any houses you want to plug while we're here?
No, they'll sell themselves. But that concludes us for this week. Thank you all very much for listening and watching. If you are watching along, feel free to like and subscribe. If you're listening, feel free to favorite. Jump into Discord, ask us some questions, and we'll catch you all next week. Peace.
Bye.